Welcome to minute 44 of season 8 of Movie on Minute, the daily podcast, where we FUBAR our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again from Simplistic Reviews is DJ Valentine. Welcome back once again, DJ.
I've got my rifle, I got my helmet, I'm ready to roll.
What about your typewriter?
I don't need it.
All right, just bring a pencil.
I sold it to Tom Hanks. He gave me a good price for it. You know, I didn't want to be, you know, greedy.
Okay, that is very kind of you. All right, so minute 44 begins with Miller trying to explain himself and ends with Jackson telling it like he sees it. So yesterday we started this integral philosophical discussion of this movie, you know, as to why are we here? What are we doing this for? You know, what's the math? Why are the eight of us more important than one person, than little Jimmy Ryan? You know, that type of thing. And Upham ended quoting Tennyson yesterday. And unfortunately, Mellish didn't do very well in his literature course in high school because he did not remember that it was Tennyson and thought that Upham is basically telling him that you're all going to die. So Miller needed to sort of calm the area. And he started saying, well, Upham's talking. And then so today he continues with that and says, well, Upham's talking about our duty as soldiers. And Upham then chimes in and goes, yes, sir. And then Miller goes, we all have orders we have to follow. And that supersedes everything, including your mother's. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. And, I mean, it's great just the way that we see the various reactions from these different characters. You know, each of them is completely, you know, we talked about this a few times this week, and we talked about it throughout the season so far, that on the one hand, these characters all seem like caricatures because they're like stereotypes that you find in World War II movies, but they're actually fleshed out. Mm-hmm. You know, again, you have the Jew, you have the Italian, you have the New Yorker, you know, you have the country bumpkin. You have the medic. You know, you have the gruff
pacifist.
That's right. You have the gruff sergeant who's supposed to be there. You know, and you got the commander leading them. But in this movie, they're all fleshed out so much better than in many other movies. I mean, I always remember from was it The Sands of Iwo Jima or something like that? I think that was, you know, John Wayne, where there's one point where there's a character who says something, and you know right then that this guy is a stereotype, and you know that he's not going to make it through the movie. You know, he'll be gone within 5 minutes. And that's what it comes down to. You know, you have to your typical. I don't remember right now if it was an Italian guy or a Jewish guy, but it was like. I think it was a Jewish guy. They had like, okay, this is the token Jewish guy, you know, in the thing. And he's said something, and you know from now on that he's not going to make it, you know. I mean, come on. Yeah.
He says, I'm 2 weeks of retirement. I go home next week.
Exactly. Or something like exactly. That. It's like in Platoon, you know, which I'm assuming you've seen. You know, where you have a Gardner, yes. You know, the guy who's there with Chris. You know, who you know joins the unit with Chris, and Gardner goes, hey, this is my girl Betty Jean. You know, oh, I'm gonna be going home.
we're gonna have three kids. We're gonna live in a farm.
When I go home, we're gonna get married. When I go home, and they're like, okay, you've now just put the final nail in your own coffin in this movie.
The Grim Reaper is like looking in. He's like, Grim Reaper is like in the background, kind of just quietly, just shaking his head, like. Psh.
That's right.
The only news.
That's right. It's like in horror movies, you know, in the you know typical you know 80s horror movies, you know, if a couple goes into another room to have sex, you know that they're not making it. They're not making. Well, they are making it. Sorry,
somebody says
they're
I'm
making
go
it, but
out.
They're
let's,
not.
Let's investigate. They're making it, but they're not going to make it. One of them's going
to. That's right.
Die.
Or both. One or both. Usually, it's the guy who's going to die, and his blood's going to splurt all over the all over the girl, who's then going to be freaked out and run away. You know, that type of thing.
See, Rob, horror movies were used to stop underage sex. So they kept making them to scare teens, not to make out in the woods. You know what the teens did? They made out even more.
In the woods, or they just found other places where there weren't crazy
anywhere,
people
anywhere,
running around with machetes. You know.
Look. Was that Reefer Madness? The Friday the 13th is the sex version of Reaper Madness. Reefer Madness.
Reefer Madness is Cheech and Chong. Or not? No.
No, it was a black and white film that was essentially showing that weed will destroy your family and kill you and all. They're making you afraid. They didn't want you to smoke weed back in the day, so they would make this movie called Reefer Madness, where people were going insane, smoking weed and doing all types of crazy things and dying weirdly. So they just did that. Put that up. Friday the 13th is like, don't have sex.
<That's>
Please
right.
don't, or Jason will get you.
Even if you're Kevin Bacon, you know, there you go.
Even if you're Kevin.
Right. So, this conversation continues. And then Ryben pipes up and goes, even if you think the mission's FUBAR, sir. And Miller looks at him and goes, especially if you think the mission's FUBAR. And Apu gets a little confused and goes, what's FUBAR? And I love Mellish's response. Goes, oh, it's German. He goes, I never heard of that.
Now, this is the second time. This is the second time I've heard the word. And I thought it was made up for I heard it in a movie, but I had never heard it other than the
was
movie.
It,
I had
was
heard
it in was it in Hammer
years
or Hell?
Passed, and I heard it
what,
in this.
What was
I, was
it
like,
in?
I heard it in a movie called Tango and Cash.
Oh, okay. Right. Oh, of course. Yes.
And I never knew what it. I thought it was funny in the movie. I was like, because Tango and Cash is fantastic. And when I heard it in this, I'm like, oh wait. I thought Tango and Cash invented this. This must be a general term because I had never heard it before or after until this movie. I've never heard people say FUBAR at all. It was not part of my parlance other than in Tango and Cash. So I was like, wait, is there a Tango and Cash connection to Saving Private Ryan? What's going on?
Apparently there is.
Apparently.
Yes. So FUBAR is a military acronym, FUBAR, okay, which is... It has numerous stuff beyond all recognition. It
that's the tank
could be
version.
That's right. It could be fouled up beyond any repair. It could be also reason is another word that you could use there. You know, fouled up beyond any reason. But you know, it's actually a phrase that began during World War II.
Wow, I did not know
yes.
that.
In 1944, it was written in the Oxford English Dictionary.
Perfect.
Yes, it was known as the FUBAR Squadron, and it says it means fouled up beyond all recognition because obviously in the Oxford Dictionary, that's all they can really say there. And it was basically it was.
Come on, Oxford, get with the times.
Right. It was referring to unpaid military personal work. Yeah, you know, that's all. That was the original idea about it. It also is known as "fucked up by assholes in the rear."
Never heard that one.
Okay, which basically is talking about the fact that it's the generals in the back that are causing problems because of the, you know, they're the ones giving these type of orders. For you, I actually wanted to, and I didn't have time to do this, to go into the Urban Dictionary. I know how much you love going to the Urban Dictionary. I still remember your warning from years ago. You told me never go to the Urban Dictionary about anything because it's just going to give you so many erroneous, sex related, comments about everything.
When I made that sketch, you haven't heard it yet. I haven't given it to you, but there's a sketch where a character is using a bunch of sexual terms, like made up sexual terms. Where did I go? The Urban Dictionary. Because I was like, I want like a listing of weird sexual terms. Ah, thank you, Urban Dictionary, for 5 million of them. So yeah.
Yeah. Right. So I am looking it up right now on the Urban Dictionary, and it doesn't tell me anything that I didn't already know. Here, military usage for f***ing up big time.
Thanks, Urban Dictionary. Thanks a lot. That's what I'm here exactly. for.
Seriously. So I actually then did a search for other military acronyms that are in the same vein. So you have BOHICA. BOHICA. Have you ever heard that?
Heard this before. I think I might have heard it on Band of Brothers. Go. What does it mean?
Okay, bend over. Here it comes again.
Yeah, I think I've heard this.
It means something undesirable is going to happen again, and there's not much else we can do other than just endure it.
I think it was a shelling sequence. I've heard this term before. Yeah. I've heard it before.
Could be. Right. Now there was actually a humor magazine that was written in the that was put out by cadets in the U.S. Naval Academy, and they had a series of comics that were entitled the BOHICA Brothers.
Okay.
Yeah. Another one is CHIPS. Have you ever heard of that one?
No, I've not heard of this one.
Causing havoc in people's streets.
That's a military term?
It basically, that's right. Wow. It's a British military term about urban warfare.
Okay. Makes sense.
Which they also use the word fish for that. F-I-S-H. Mm. Fighting in someone's house. Oh, shit.
That's a little bit more casual.
And then they basically use the phrase fish and chips.
Oh.
You know, which basically means fighting in someone's house, causing havoc in people's streets.
Oh, okay. I thought it was disgusting
interesting
food.
Way to look at it.
I thought it was just disgusting food. Okay, good.
apparently not. Apparently it's more than that. Okay, you have FUBU, F-U-B-U.
That's For Us, By Us. That was a clothing line back in the day. Okay, like in the 90s.
This is close to FUBAR. It's F***ed up beyond all understanding.
Okay, all right.
I don't know. FUBAR sounds better, but whatever.
Yeah, I like FUBAR.
Then you have Fred, which is a ridiculous eating device.
Mm-hmm. MRE. Is that an MRE?
it's a field ration eating device that was attached to an MRE.
Yeah, there you go.
So they would refer to it as a Fred. Okay, what about SNAFU?
SNAFU I've heard a million times, but the acronym... Knowing it's an acronym is weird because people just say I've had a snafu, like I've messed up something, but I didn't know it was an acronym.
What do you know? What the acronym is?
No. I've heard the word many times, but I didn't know it was an acronym at all or what it stood for.
Okay, it's a situation normal. All f***ed up.
Okay, that seems like an oxymoron, but all right.
Well, that. It's not. It's saying that this is basically the situation is normal. Everything is all fucked up. You know, that type of thing. Time magazine even used the phrase in 1942 in one of their issues where it said, last week, U.S. citizens knew that gasoline rationing and rubber requisitioning was snafu.
So I've heard of cause of snafu or had a snafu. They use it in pop celebrity terms now, but the acronym version, I did not know.
Right. They had a group of or a series of instructional military films during World War II that were written by Philip Eastman, Monroe Leaf, and Theodore Geisel. Do you know who Theodore Geisel is?
No, who's that?
Dr. Seuss.
Really?
Yes.
That's his name. Mm-hmm. Oh, that... And why wouldn't I not know that?
I don't know. It probably rhymed, though. What rhymes with snafu?
Of course. Does he eat green eggs and ham? Is that what's going on here? Is that
exactly.
Does he have a cat or a hat Really?
Correct. Now, it's snafu is usually used as an interjection, but lately it's been mostly used as a noun. So it refers to a bad situation, mistake, or cause of trouble. It's used mostly nowadays to describe running into an error or problem that is large and unexpected.
I'm not even gonna go there. I'm not gonna get canceled. I'm gonna walk
Yeah,
away.
could be.
Like a mansion full of baby oil and pink cocaine, right? Like a Diddy
Yeah, I
snafu.
don't think you need to really explain that one.
Kids, Puff Daddy was a rap.
That's right.
No. I just Google it. Google it, kids.
So during World War I, there was a acronym that was used in Imperial, which was used by soldiers in the British Empire, and it was referring to conflicting orders from various authorities.
Okay.
So basically, because it came from the Imperial War Cabinet, so they basically were saying, oh, they just, they fucked things up again. Here you go. You got one similar to snafu. You have a susfu, SUSFU,
That sounds dirty.
a situation unchanged, still fucked up.
Okay.
Then you have tarfu, TARFU, totally and royally fucked
I
up.
like that one.
Or things are really f***ed. It could be either one. Private snafu, what we mentioned about what Dr. Seuss wrote. They had animated shorts also. The other one's called The Three Brothers. And they had characters of Private Snafu, Private Fubar, and Seaman Tarfu, along with Bugs Bunny.
Of course, Bugs is to say, "What am I doing here, guys? We gotta sell tickets, all right?"
Seriously. Okay, so at this point, Upham, you're where Fubar comes from, and
Right.
we're gonna have to wait a very long time. Point, the silence is broken by Jackson, who says, "Sir, I have an opinion on this matter." "Well, by all means, share it with the squad." "Well, from my way of thinking, sir, this entire mission is a serious misallocation of valuable military resources." "Yeah, go on." "Well, it seems to me, sir, that God gave me a special gift, made me a fine instrument of warfare." And then Miller interrupts and says, "Ryben, pay attention. This is the way to gripe." "Continue, Jackson." "Well, what I mean by that, sir, is if you were to put me and this here sniper rifle anywhere up to and including 1 mile of Adolf Hitler with a clear line of sight, sir, pack your bags, fellas. War's over." "Amen."
This to me is Barry Pepper's best performance. I love Jackson because he's to me so. I mean, they're all interesting, but he's so interesting. He's a God-fearing man with likely the highest body count of the
Exactly.
entire unit. It's so it's you could do a whole Jackson during the war. It'd be
It's
fantastic.
true.
But yeah.
So basically, he mentions here the fact that he, is if he can make the shot from a mile away, if you were to, put him there to go kill Hitler. So what do you think the longest confirmed sniper kill in combat was achieved?
They said this in American Sniper, and
Well, if it
they
was an
said it in
American
American
sniper,
Sniper, but it
it's
was.
been surpassed since then.
I
So,
think they said
it doesn't
the.
matter.
Yeah. I remember. No, I remember when that movie came out. The conversations were going on about it, but I'm not sure how far it is.
Okay, so the current record, which what is known, happened just a little over a year ago, November 2023, where a Ukrainian soldier was able to kill a Russian soldier at a distance of 3,800 meters. So we're talking, was it that's almost 4 kilometers away. And the previous record was held by a Canadian Special Forces sniper from June 2017, where he was able to kill someone 3,500 meters away. So.
It's like I live closer to my job than that. That's insane. That's insane distance.
Exactly. So yeah. So I mean, Jackson's a good shot, but I gotta tell you, I love how Barry Pepper delivers this, but I can't say that I'm
He's
a
great.
fan of the way that this the way that this fits into the story here, because he sounds like he's very high on himself here.
Oh yeah, he's. I
and
think he's
Jackson
got, he's got
Jackson
that.
is a more humble character, but he's in this moment he's not humble. He's basically saying, "Look, you know, I'm the best sniper around. You just put me in the right place, and I would have ended this war." But that has nothing to do with the fact that they're going to look for saving for Jimmy Ryan. You know, like how is
the conversation? Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, like how is he? How is that adding to the situation? Is his gripe that why am I wasting my time with you guys? They should just put me somewhere else. Maybe.
Yeah, because he says he thinks he's the misallocation of resources. Right. Like, why am I doing this? I should be whatever. Or Ryan gets to go home. I want to go home. He's like, well, if I shot the Adolf Hitler, we'd all go home. Right. Essentially where I see Jackson going on. But yeah, the whole I'm a misallocation of resources is like, yeah, I'm the military's best sniper. Why am I on a seek and find mission? I should be on a seek and destroy mission right now.
Right. Right. That sounds like that. Interesting. Right. And that's how this minute ends. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see if anyone responds to Jackson with this. not really sure. Did you say this particular minute?
Again, I'm not going to, I know people are going to say Battlefield Earth, but no, Barry Pepper's best performance is right here. This movie is Barry
Pepper's
magnum.
Have you seen him in 61?
You know what? He's very good at 61. He's also getting I think it's True Grit. I think he's in it for a little bit. He's a good actor. It's just, this when I think of Barry Pepper, this is what comes to mind.
Okay, obviously.
Every time. Okay, every time. Yeah, yeah.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. All right. So every Thursday we have a little game that I play with my guests called Say What Thursday.
Okay.
Say what? Say what again?
The kindest Jules Winfield I've ever heard.
That's right. Say what? So the idea here is that I'm going to give you a quote from a movie, and you have to tell me who stated the quote. You can maybe say the character, the actor, what movie. All right, I will tell you the quote and the year that the movie came out. Now, it's obviously related to someone who's in this movie. So every week I pick three different actors that it could be. Okay. So I'm you know, giving you a little bit of help by knowing that it's one of three actors in this movie.
All right.
So these quotes will be either from Adam Goldberg, Ed Burns, or Tom Sizemore. Those are your three.
Wow. This will be tough.
All right. So let's start with the first one. Okay. This is a movie from 1998.
Okay.
Remember, it could be Ed Burns, Tom Sizemore, or Adam Goldberg. Listen to me. I want to know who made the videotape, and I want to know within a week, or I'll kill you.
Oh, I know this one. This is I Made a State. This is Tom Sizemore.
Very good.
The sequel to The Conversation starring Gene Hackman.
That's right. Do you know his character's name?
I do not know the character. I know he's a mafia guy. He's talking to Will Smith at this point. And there's a videotape that I think Jason Lee captures and gives to Will Smith for getting hit by a truck.
Yeah.
I think, and Barry Pepper, I think, is in this movie as well.
Yes, he is.
He's one of the goons that work for the government, I believe.
So the character's name is Pintero. And he actually he's actually uncredited in that movie.
He's uncredited? He's fantastic. He's like the main bad guy.
Yes.
Well, not the main bad guy. John Voight's the main bad guy, but like he's a very big bad guy in the movie.
All right, well, what can you do? All right.
Good movie, though. Good movie.
The next one from 2006. The quote is, "All right, life, like time and space, is not merely a local phenomenon." Okay, it could be Tom Sizemore, Ed Burns, or Adam Goldberg.
Life, like time and space, is not a local phenomenon.
It's not merely a local phenomenon.
is not nearly a
merely,
local
merely,
phenomenon.
Merely,
merely, merely, merely, merely. Okay, merely a local phenomenon. I'm gonna say, oh man, I'm gonna.
I can give you lifelines if you want. You know, you can
get. Okay, so say one more time.
One more time. All right.
Yeah.
Life, like time and space, is not merely a local phenomenon.
And the answer could be Tom Sizemore, Barry Pepper, or
no, Tom Sizemore, Ed Burns, or Adam Goldberg.
Adam Goldberg says this. I don't know what movie it is, but this sounds like something Adam Goldberg would say.
Okay, first of all, you are correct. It is Adam Goldberg. That you are correct.
I'm going to say, wait. Is it Beautiful Mind?
No. This is 2006. Dang, okay. 2006.
Oh, 2006. Right. 2006. It's Beautiful Mind somewhere. Yeah, I'm sorry.
2006.
The movie. Adam Goldberg, 2006. I don't know what movie this is, no.
All right. Let's see. Who else is in this movie? Jim Caviezel is in this movie.
Jim Caviezel's in this movie. Life like time is spent. Jim Caviezel? Mm-hmm. It's not Passion of the Christ.
No. Greenwood. Bruce Greenwood is also in this movie.
Greenwood, Batman. Bruce Greenwood. Jim. I'm going through Jim Caviezel's filmography in my head, and I see Count of Monte Cristo. Passion of the Christ. Sound of Fury, whatever. I don't know what this is. Bruce Greenwood. I just know
Matt Craven is also in this movie.
Matt Craven?
Yeah.
Oh, man. This might be a movie I've not seen.
You have definitely seen this movie. I know you've seen this movie.
I've seen this movie?
Yes. Val Kilmer's in this movie.
It's Greenwood. Two Batmans are in this movie. Adam Goldberg, Bruce Greenwood. That's throwing me off. Bruce Greenwood's throwing me off.
Paula Patton is in this movie.
What the hell movie is this? Oh, this is a movie I've not seen, I think.
You have definitely seen this.
I might not have seen. Don't get it twisted. Adam Goldberg. The only time I can think of him playing a scientist is in Beautiful Mind with Ray. What's his name? Russell Crowe. What movie is this? I can't get it.
Okay, it's directed by Tony Scott.
What the? Enemy of the State? Wait a minute. Is this? If this is what I think it is, I've never seen this movie. Is this Deja Vu with Denzel Washington?
Yes, it is.
Never seen Deja Vu. I was just like, what movie is this? It was like Tony Scott.
I'm very shocked. I'm shocked that you haven't seen it.
Never seen Deja Vu. Never seen it. It's like Paula Patton. What the hell? Sorry.
You might have remembered. Yeah.
Yeah. When you get Tony Scott, it kind of was like, well, it must be one of those, you know, time travel. Because the time and space thing. I was like, what the? Jim Caviezel's in Deja Vu? I've never seen this movie. Like, maybe I should watch Deja Vu. I've heard mixed things. So
it's fun. It's a fun movie. You know, okay. If you don't take it too seriously, you know, and
it's Denzel. So,
Exactly. All right. Let's go to the next one. Right. Once again, this is from 2001. Okay. It can be either Tom Sizemore, Ed Burns, or Adam Goldberg.
Adam Goldberg.
Okay. John's always been a little weird.
John's has always been a little weird.
From 2001.
2001. John's has always been a little weird. John's. So I'm thinking Vin Diesel, Pitch Black. But that's the different John's.
No, but it's John has always been a little weird.
Oh, John. Weird. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the John's I'm thinking of. Wait, John has always been a little weird. I might need a lifeline here.
All right. Let's see what I can give you that won't give it away too easily.
Mm.
Josh Lucas is in this movie.
Josh Lucas and Ed Burns are George Lucas and Tom Sizemore. What the? You picked some.
Okay, Judd Hirsch is in this movie.
Oh, this is Beautiful Mind.
Yes. This
John has all. My break you saying John's, but it's not. It's John has always been a little. Yeah. This is Adam Goldberg. This is Beautiful Mind. I jumped it.
Yeah.
It's like Josh Lucas. I was like, wait, he was Russell Crowe's friend. I mean, you had John. Okay, yeah. Beautiful Mind.
That's right. I was for me, it was just really funny because I knew that the next one I was doing was Beautiful Mind. And it's you funny thought, to me because you thought the first one was it.
We're doing Saving Private Ryan. You said John's. My mind was locked in pitch black, Vin Diesel, right. Pitch black.
Okay. All right.
Contractions. I'm bad with contractions.
Exactly. All right. The next one is from 1996. I walked out of the apartment, got into my car, and spent the next 3 years driving all around the country.
I got in my car. Say it again.
I walked out of the apartment, got into my car, and spent the next 3 years driving all over the country.
This sounds like Ed Burns. That's not, no, my brain's going some different movie. Not the actor. Is it Ed Burns?
Yes, it is Ed Burns.
Like Ed Burns. Ed Burns movies are hard. Because I'm thinking like Confidence and the. She's the One.
Yes.
She's the One?
She's the One.
Oh. Ed Burns is an already farty guy. Don't get David Hurt. He has a lot of fringy movies. So I was going like 15 minutes with Robert De Niro, but that's too old. Yeah, She's the One. What a pull.
Okay.
Ed Burns is not mainstream. He's not mainstream.
No. All right. And the final one for you, because I know that you're hurting from all this.
These are tough, man. These are super hard, by the way.
Well, come on, you got to know who your audience is, you know.
Yeah, because you didn't go Tom Hanks or Vin Diesel or
I'm leaving those for people who aren't
Matt Damon. You went
you might as well went
the Nazi guy that escapes. Dennis Farina would have been easier than Ed Burns.
Well, the Dennis Farina ones are pretty easy because you know that you got Midnight Running, Snatch. Get Shorty, you know.
You got Snatch in there. You can
right.
Snatch.
Okay. Yeah, but most people aren't going to get their quotes from Snatch, you know. That's it.
Okay. I got you.
So the final one from 1995. Oof. The issue is not whether you're paranoid, Lenny. I mean, look at this. The issue is whether you're paranoid.
Annoyed enough. Strange Days, Tom Sizemore talking to Ralph Fiennes, Angela Bassett, produced by James Cameron, whose ex-wife is Kathryn Bigelow, the effing director. Is that right?
That is 100% right.
There we go. I know more Tom Sizemore than I know the other guy. Tom Sizemore, God rest him, I know all your stuff.
Excellent. All right. Okay. So, DJ, would you like to one final? DJ, would you like to once again tell everyone where they can find you?
They can find me rewatching all of Ed Burns' movies, and maybe I'll watch Deja Vu at the Simplistic Reviews podcast. Search Simplistic Reviews. We talk movies, we talk TV, we talk random stuff. Me, Matthew Stewart, Justin Palizzi, 3 times a month. Check it out.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So until tomorrow, earn this.
Earn this. I'm having deja vu right now. Solitude,
of days gone by.